Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we finally played a football game. So with that, let's open up episode 15 of the Howard Eskin podcast, football. Now, it wasn't a great football game. Remember, most of the starters aren't playing a lot, but to get the perspective, and I'll give you my perspective, to get the perspective of the Eagles' first football game, the first look at the Eagles other than on the practice field. In the practice field, you do get a lot of things. We'll talk to a guy that I think's got a really good insight. Not a pretty good insight, a really good insight to the football game. Part of the broadcast to the Philadelphia Eagles with myself and Merle Reese, but I should say with Merle Reese, is Mike Quick. And then, of course, I'll join along. But Mike Quick had a perspective, and I talked to him right after the game. So it's the perspective of what he saw, and we don't agree necessarily on everything. The perspective of what he saw right after the football game. Here's Mike Quick. All right, I'm with Mike Quick, and we just saw the first game, the Eagles play in the preseason. Let's start with the pluses you saw in the game.
Ooh.
No, I thought there were several pluses. I'll start with Mac Holland and the way he played. Yeah. Well, no, I'll back up even further. Carson and the way he kind of moved in the pocket, kept things alive. Offensive line play was shoddy at times, but I thought, you know, he was pretty good with his ability to stay up, extend the plays, and that sort of thing. And you're going to need to see more of that through the season. Mac Holland certainly played well for the rookie. There are a lot of positive things. I thought Donnell Pumphrey, although he put it on the ground a couple of times, I thought he was very comfortable, you know, playing at this level, and I think he'll do well at this level. Everyone has talked about his size probably ever since he started playing the game, but he's been able to overcome it at every level, and I think he'll overcome that sort of stigma even at this level.
You know, Bryce Treggs, I don't see how he can make the team, but I'm telling you what, he's not above any one of the top five. He's not past any one of the top five receivers. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, he had seven catches tonight, and he was the most productive of all the receivers, and Bryce Treggs can play in this league. I don't know if he'll be fortunate enough to stay on this team, but he's going to play.
Yeah, but it looks like he should be on this team, doesn't it?
I don't know if it looks like that. When you look at the numbers, I don't think he factors into the top five, maybe even the top six. So
you watch him in practice. He seems to catch everything and has the confidence to be able to do it.
Bryce Treggs is going to play in this league, but is he going to play on this team? I don't know if that's going to happen. He could, you know, he could end up being the sixth player if they keep six receivers. But maybe not.
You know, when you look at the offensive line, obviously Doug Peterson said after the game, the running game wasn't there. Well, there's a reason it wasn't there, don't you think? What was the problem with the offensive line?
Well, Green Bay Packers have a very good defensive line. That was a big part of the problem. And, you know, trying to move, you know, Mike Daniels and guys like that off of the ball, it's hard to do. And I thought Chase Womack had a tough time in trying to move him. And they weren't able to. And to me, that was the toughest part early in the game, to see them trying to establish a run game that just wasn't there because they couldn't move him off the ball.
You know, this is the game you obviously see the backup players, and they've got it. Those are the guys that really got to work for jobs. Did you Did you see some bright spots in the backup, guys?
What are you still talking offensive line?
No, let's talk defense.
Well, just in general, I saw Gary made a couple of plays, then he gave up one on the outside. And he's got a lot of skills. He's got a skill set that they really like. Hamilton, I thought Hamilton really helped himself. Quarles had a couple of real good rushes. He took one of those big linemen and just drilled him, pushed him into the backfield. So those guys, the backup guys that are looking to make the back end of this roster, are looking to add depth to the roster, I think both those guys had some real good plays that the coaches are like in what they did. And, of course, number one draft pick, Dirk Barnett, had a couple of real good plays. Of course, the sack, that was the first sack of the game. But even beyond that, he had two or three real good plays that I'm sure the coaches are going to point out.
Well, you look at the corners, too. Some of them had some difficulty. Did anybody in the backup guys... kind of stand out one way or the other to you?
No, not there's nothing there that really stood out. C.J. Smith gave up a play, then made a play, gave up another play, but none of them really did anything in my mind to separate them from the other guys. Jalen Mills, I thought, played really well, and you know he's right now the best corner that's on the roster. Aside from that, thinking about the corners, I didn't see much that stood out.
The special teams had some issues tonight. Are you concerned at all about the special teams?
Not at all. I know when they get the roster down to what it needs to be, and you get your main guys that are in there that Dave Phipps working with every week, the special teams will be what they've been over the past few years, because that's just the way he teaches it. He keeps it simple. He keeps it so that guys can play aggressively and not have to do a whole lot of thinking.
You know, you look at the second game, okay, what is it, other than Carson Wentz needing to get more protection, what is it they have to do?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, showing that they can protect him better and just get the offense moving, execute the offense, get some rhythm, get some flow to the offense where guys are confident that when the play is called that it's a play that's going to be a positive play. And you put a few of those together, you start to get the confidence, and you know that it breeds more confidence when you make a positive play. And that's really what I want to see. I want to see the offensive line play the way they should play and then allow the quarterback to continue to grow as he should.
Okay, the first game is the first game. But do you have concerns that there's something that they may have trouble fixing?
I don't have any concerns at this point. This is, you know, the preseason. This is where you kind of work out all of the kinks, work on all the things that you feel like you need to work on. It's not a time for concern. This is just, you know, preseason, trying to make sure that you get the roster down to the best guys that you have in camp.
You know that what people are going to say on the radio. They're always going to pick apart, and it's going to be gloom and doom. Can you tell those people that it's not gloom and doom because it's only the first game?
See, right now, you don't even know what they're, you know, what the plans are, what they're doing. Like, there's no... There are no real strategies involved right now in the game. You know, it's a chess match kind of game where you're creating matchups and you're trying to take advantage of weak areas. All of that stuff is not even a factor right now. Right now, you're trying to look at individual players and you're trying to build your roster. So what happens now is really the big picture of what happens now is really not that important. The wins, losses, you know, it's really analyzing players and trying to make sure that at the end of the day you've got the best 53 players that you have in your camp.
How tough is it on the offense when you don't game plan to really see what you have?
I think on an individual basis you can see what guys can do. But like on a night like tonight where Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator, is sending a lot of blitzes, showing you a lot of different looks, you'll see what individuals can do, but it doesn't help you seeing the big picture of your offense, blowing people off, moving the ball down the field, because the scheme is not there. You haven't game plan for this defense and what they do.
You know what? You play the second game. Is there two things that you want to see that are better or that you want to see out of this team in game two?
I want to see everything better in the second game. I want to see... I want to see the defense get after the quarterback and get hits on the quarterback, not just late but early in the game. I want to see the offense, as I said, establish some rhythm. I want to see Carson really get into throwing the ball and some vertical chunks down the field with the football. I want to see some of that stuff.
I'm going to tell you, I love Bryce Treg so far, and I know you don't think he's going to make it.
I think he's a good player.
He seems confident. I think you said on the broadcast he seems very confident.
He is, and he has been. And the only thing with Treggs, he caught three passes last year. One was a big pass, a 58-yard pass against the Giants. But he just hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities. I think when he gets opportunities, I think he's going to make plays. But there are other guys, like the two that they just bought in, the free agents and the draft picks, that are in line ahead of Bryce Treggs.
Yeah, well, he's better than Gibson, I would say, which is not hard to say because he's a rookie.
Well.
And Gibson probably, might have trouble making the team.
Yeah, Gibson. See, some guys are comfortable at this level, but Gibson doesn't seem to be one of those guys.
Right.
Yeah, whenever he does catch the ball, it's a double catch. The one that he dropped tonight, it's because he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his hands, and he's fighting the football.
You know, Foles will probably play the second game. You want to see what he can do with this. You know, he knows the offense. Does it matter to you?
Not worried about Nick. And quite honestly, I was impressed with Matt McGloin and the way he was able to run the offense. And just the veteran savvy that he showed and the things that he did, the decisions that he made.
Okay, Mike, we'll see what happens game two. But the people are going to be upset, and you know it.
That's all right. People are people. They'll get over it.
Okay.
Okay, I think we agree on a lot of things. I mean, obviously, when you agree with Mike Quick, you've got a pretty good perspective. The offensive line, I still wonder. Now, there was only one player missing, and that was Brandon Brooks from that offensive line that should start the season. Brandon Brooks with a sprained ankle. I don't know that Brandon Brooks wants to play in preseason games, as a lot of players don't. But that was the only thing missing. And they passed the ball a lot because the Eagles couldn't run the ball. And I think that, I don't know if I have concerns, but I wonder maybe a little more than Mike Quick why they couldn't run the ball. And I can't always give the Green Bay Packers the credit, or the other team the credit, in this case the Packers. I just think they've got to do a better – they're going to have to run the ball, and they've got to do a better job. Now, remember, LeGarrette Blount he played with the first team, but he is not a guy that's going to get a lot of yards, but he still has to do better than he did. They really – we're without a running back in Wendell Smallwood, who was still hurt from practice during the week. So I don't know that you can judge them fully, but I can look at that first team offensive line and say, I think they certainly need to do a better job, and they needed to do a better job. Now, one thing that you have to be, and Mike was, a little bit impressed with is Carson Wentz. Got a lot of pressure. He made some, it's somewhat elusive. I believe he only had one sack or only got sacked one time. But I think he made some really good decisions and, for the most part, extended plays, which he had to with the way that the Packers were coming after him. He extended plays and made some good plays. And one of those good plays was one of the wide receivers, Mac Hollins. Now, when I look at who the Eagles are going to keep, and again, I've got to really preface all this by saying it was only the first preseason game, but looking at practice and watching these guys in practice every day, Mac Hollins did a really nice job with that catch and run last night. Mac Collins is going to make the team. There's no question. I don't think Gibson, the wide receiver they drafted, I think it was in the fifth round. I don't see there's any way that he makes the football team. I don't know if they're going to put him on the, I don't know what they're going to do with him on the practice squad. But from a team that really lacked any kind of quality, any kind of real quality and depth in the wide receivers, they sure do so far look like they have it. Mac Collins will play on this football team, mostly special teams. And I think that's where the count, you can juggle around the numbers. You'd say five wide receivers. I think they'll have six if you count, and you can count Mac Collins, obviously. But they kind of put him in, oh, we're using this guy for special teams to get, I think they're going to have to carry six wide receivers, and that counts Mac Collins. The thing that, and I've said this a lot of times when I watch the Eagles at practice, and then I watched him in the game last night. And again, you got to understand he's going against second and third team players. But Bryce Treggs, I think, and I don't know how they're going to do it, Bryce Treggs, from what I've seen so far in camp and what I saw in the first game, I think Bryce Treggs has got some quickness. I know he only caught three balls last year. He's got some quickness. He's got some speed. He looks like he's sure-handed. If he doesn't play with the Eagles, and as Mike Quick said this, he'll play in the NFL. But I'd like to see him play with the Eagles. I just want to see guys that catch the ball. So who's the odd man out? It'll be interesting. Jordan Matthews is a good receiver. But knowing the future of Jordan Matthews is probably only this year, if he's here with the Eagles this season. It's probably only this year with Bryce Treggs, by the looks of him and his age, could be here for more than a year, and he gives you more of a long term. I would have never thought I would have said this. I thought he had no shot to make this football team, but I think Bryce Treggs is a player, is a wide receiver that people really have to look at. You really have to look at Bryce Treggs, and I want to try to find, I'm not making the decisions, but if it was me, I want to try to find a way to have Bryce Treggs on this football team as a wide receiver. I just want guys, there's nothing wrong with his speed. Speed's good, and he's quick, but I want somebody that catches the football, and he just seems to catch. And in practice, it's the same way. Catch every football. Now, we got more games left. We're going to see a lot more Bryce Treggs. And you really don't have to make a decision. Maybe even until the final cut. I don't know if you can make a trade. I would like to see Bryce Treggs on this team. And, guys always come out of nowhere. Marcus Johnson is a wide receiver that's likely going to make the team because he's played really well in camp. Didn't see much of him in the game. But the thing is, I want to see Bryce Treggs on this football team. It's based on what I've seen so far in practice and what I saw in the Eagles' first preseason game. Now, you look at other things. Jalen Mills showed me some things. He's going to be one of the starting. He's going to be one of the starting corners. Again, you don't know who's going to be on the other side, whether it's going to be Patrick Robinson, who hasn't had a good camp, had a decent game, not a great game, but you need better than decent, or Rasul Douglas. I don't know if they'll start on the other side. But I like the toughness and the fact that Jalen Mills will get up on somebody. But outside of that, as far as the other corners and as far as the other secondary people after you get past the two safeties, and Jalen Mills, I don't know what you have there. But again, based on camp and based on what you saw in the last game, and I don't know if the Eagles know what they have there yet. But we'll see more and more. We'll see. I don't know if we'll see Wentz a little bit more in the Buffalo game, certainly in the Miami game. And when Miami comes to town, they're going to scrimmage with the Dolphins for 2 days during that week. Leading, and that's the third game of the preseason, 2 games during that week leading up to that third game. So we'll get to see a little bit more in practice of some of these players. And things have a tendency to sort themselves out. But there's a few things that really need to be sorted out on the back end of that defense with the defensive backs. So we'll see. Second game's against Buffalo. And again, when you look at the division, and at the time I'm doing this, but it's almost assured now that Zeke Elliott is going to be suspended. It's what happens when you get bad guys, and the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, always finds a way to put bad guys on that team, and people just kind of give them a pass and just say, oh, okay, well, if you can play, he takes them, and he takes all of them. But Zeke Elliott, this thing's going on too long. And again, every indication at the time that I've recorded this thing is that Zeke Elliott will get a suspension. That's not going to help the Cowboys. That's not going to help Dak Prescott. And we'll see what happens. He should have been suspended before this, and we shouldn't have to go this deep into things. But the NFL wants to make a thorough investigation whether he's found guilty or there's any charges by the police, because in the case of Zeke Elliott, you know the police at Ohio State were going to give him a pass, and the police in Dallas obviously gave him a pass. He busted a guy's nose, but they always give him a pass. But it'll be good to see some justice, and I'm assuming there's going to be that suspension at the time of this recording. It's good to see that some justice will be served. All right, the Sixers. People are getting excited about the Sixers, and it's the anticipation of a lot of good things. National TV wants to see them on Christmas Day. You have two big markets, and the Sixers and the Knicks will play on Christmas Day. That's okay. I'm a conspiracy theorist, and the conspiracy is, and I don't see how the schedule is going to play out yet. I don't know if the Sixers are going to get some days off before the Christmas Day game against the Knicks. They're going to get some days off before the game they play in London on January 11th against Boston. But if they don't get days off, will that take... And Joel Embiid is going to be restricted again in some games this season, whether it's minutes or whether it's games played. And you just hope it doesn't take, because we've been through this and we've seen this, because you want to see, when you go to a game, the fact that you're paying all those ridiculous prices for those tickets, you want to see Joel Embiid play at home. And we'll see how that all plays out. Now, the London game, I don't know why people get so excited. They say, oh, the Sixers are playing in London and they're going to play the Celtics. The NBA and the Sixers don't care that they took one of the prime home games away from their fans. Now, you only have a limited number of primo home games, teams you really want to see. I know people want to see the Celtics. I know people want to see the Lakers now with Lonzo Ball. I mean, you can go down the list. Cleveland, you can go down the list, but it's not a long list. Golden State, obviously. Oklahoma City, obviously, with Russell Westbrook. But the Boston Celtics were one of those games. Now, they'll play in Philadelphia one other time, but you've taken a home game, and it's a home game against a team that people want to see. So the excitement, I understand, because the Sixers are getting national attention, but it's the attention that the fans should get in Philadelphia. And the Sixers, the Sixers ownership, Josh Harris, and the people in charge really don't care whether they took a home game away from you. All they care about is they're going to make money, trust the profits. And that's what it comes down to with the 76ers. It's exciting to see that the Sixers are getting a lot of national attention, and they should get a lot of national attention, but they took something away from you, which I think is a little unfair to take one of the prime games away from their fans. To talk baseball, what's the sense? What's the sense? We got to wait till the minor leaguers develop for the Phillies, so there's really nothing to talk about. I will say this. I am not, and I've repeated this. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. I'll repeat this. I am not a Vince Velasquez fan. If they can get something for him in a trade, I don't care whether they want to convert him into a bullpen pitcher, because he just, when he's not pitching well, he's always got excuses. It's the finger the last game against the Mets, please. When I'm not, I don't think if the Phillies are going to ever get to a place where fans want to see them, I don't want Vince Velasquez. There's other guys I don't want on the team, but that's one of the guys I don't want on the team. All right, so that's the baseball for today. There'll be more to talk about with football. Hopefully you enjoyed what Mike Quick had to say. And I think he's got some really great, obviously, we know, we all love Mike Quick in Philadelphia. Got some really good insight. But we'll get to see more and get more of Mike's opinions, I'm sure, throughout the season. So enjoy. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to episode number 15 and Mike Quick. And I'll see you again next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.